I want to move on, and I want to move on to patience in relation to ourselves with regard to our spiritual progress. And I think it's very important, first of all, to recognise that spiritual growth and unfoldment depends upon setting up the right conditions and not upon our willpower. And I think this is an important point because I meet lots of people who think they can force themselves into higher states of consciousness, and I've tried to do it myself as well, and it doesn't work, and it just leads to frustration. So we're on much better ground if we think of just setting up the conditions for spiritual growth rather than trying to get into any particular state. And Sangharakshita uses an image here. He says that it's a little bit like someone trying to grow a plant, and they keep pulling up the plant to look at the roots to see if it's growing. Doesn't work, does it? I think what often holds us back is actually not trusting the conditions that we have. And because we don't trust in our meditation practices, in our friendships, in our Dharma study and so on, we're not able to give ourselves fully to them. We hold back. And I think that's what probably holds us back more than anything. So we get impatient for results without putting in the effort to create the conditions we need to grow. And I gave that reading before the Metta Bhavana. And it's a natural law that the next stage of the spiritual life arises out of the fullness of the stage that we're practicing. So if we just get on with our practice, you know, whatever our practice is at the moment, say we've just come along quite recently and we're doing the Metta Bhavana and the mindfulness of breathing, if we go fully into that and fully into our practice of ethics, something will just arise out of that. The next stage will just arise quite naturally. I know that if I'm hungry for higher teachings, I just have to look at the teachings I've already got and ask myself, well, am I actually practicing those as fully as I can? For ethics, for instance, the 10 precepts, you know, in a way I've hardly scratched the surface. So look more to going more deeply into the practices that you already have. And I think progress in spiritual life is much more to do with the intensity and the commitment we can bring to our overall practice. Not just what we're doing on the meditation cushion, but how much we're able to practice in every situation in life. I think it's very easy to underestimate how deep a change it requires to make spiritual progress. And the Yogacara talks about turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness. So it's almost as if we've got to turn something around that's very, very deep in us. And it takes a long time. And getting impatient with ourselves isn't going to make it happen any quicker. I think another thing that's important to remember is that we grow at different speeds. Some people grow more quickly than others. We bring different things to our practice. So there's no point in comparing ourselves with other people or comparing our rate of change with others. Sometimes it's not clear even if we're growing and changing at all. Sometimes there are periods in our spiritual life where we can feel as if we're going backwards. But that's not the case. But it can feel like that. And I think that's why we need spiritual friends. You know, people who've got a broader perspective on our lives. Sometimes we lose perspective ourselves on how our lives are going. So as I said, sometimes I think it's easy to lose confidence and to feel daunted by how difficult it is to make substantial spiritual progress, or we compare our progress with others. And I think we've all had the experience of being on retreat, and we're sitting in the shrine, we're meditating, and everybody else looks so happy, you know, and they've got this little Buddhist smile on their faces, and then we're just sitting there and we're struggling with our meditation practice. Or maybe we come to a class like this class, and we think everybody's so getting on so well, you know, they've all got friends here, they all look so well connected. And then we talk to them and we find out, you know, they feel just as sort of out of their depth or whatever it is as we do, or just as, on their own as we do. So I don't think we need to compare ourselves with others. I think we can really trust in our practice there. Where I live at Padmaloka, I work on an ordination team, so we help to prepare people for ordination. And it can get very, very intense sometimes. You know, we have retreats with a lot of people on them. We see a lot of people every day. We're probably leading groups and so on and other things. And sometimes we sit in the team meeting and one of us says, I feel like the weak link in the team. And, you know, you can feel that. So you just say, well, actually, you know, I feel like, you know, you're all doing so well. I'm really struggling. I feel like I'm the weak link. And then someone else says, no, you're not the weak link. I'm the weak link. And, you know, it can be like that sometimes. So, you know, communicate. If you think that other people are doing so well and you're not, just communicate and get another perspective on it. And you'll find it's probably not quite like how you thought. And I personally find it helpful to remember that practicing the Buddhist life is not about being perfect, you know, and it's not about reaching any particular stage. It's much more about that you're making the effort to grow and to change regardless of where you are on the path. You know, you don't need to worry too much about where you are on the path. The important fact is that you're actually making the effort to change. And I think a big part of practicing the Dharma is just reminding ourselves repeatedly what we're trying to do. We're going to forget that what we're trying to do is just to respond to every situation with awareness and kindness. That's all we're trying to do, really. That's what it really comes down to. But we forget that again and again. You know, we lose our temper with somebody, we forget to meditate, whatever. And we don't need to make a big drama of it if that happens. You know, we're not the worst Buddhist in the world, you know, when that happens. We just have to remember, okay, well, I've forgotten what I'm trying to do, and we just go back to the practice, and we get on with the practice. The great Mahayana teacher Asanga said, the essentials of practice are to purify your intention by remembering and to make correction after failure. So we're going to forget again and again what we're doing, developing awareness and kindness, and we just have to keep coming back and remembering and going back to the practice. And that's really the essence of, you know, the practice of Kshanti in relation to our own practice. And traditionally, practicing Kshanti also includes patience with discomfort, inconvenience, and from criticism from the teacher. They're the traditional forms. And I suppose this really comes down to how much are we prepared to put ourselves out to practice the Dharma. It's a cold night outside, you know, are we prepared to actually go to the class? We're tired after work, and it's Friday night, and we've booked on a retreat. Do we actually still go on the retreat, or do we decide it's just too much effort, you know, and I've worked too hard, or do we make the effort to go, and so on and so forth.